In the passage we read today,
Jesus and his friends are exhausted.
Over the course of a little over a month, we have watched and listened as he starts teaching and preaching, getting into his rhythm of telling parables. He calls out the demonic, and in doing so, is accused of being Satan himself. He calms the sea
and the disciples'
ears. He heals both the woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years and the little 12-year-old girl. He goes to his hometown, and while he's able to teach there, the people really disregard him to the point that their lack of belief affects him so deeply that he cannot cure anyone there. Nonetheless, he sends his friends out in sets of two to share his message and to heal on his behalf as well. And then, last week, he got word that his cousin, his beloved mentor, John, who had baptized him oh so recently, had been murdered. And not just murdered, he was killed by the authorities because he was speaking truth about them and the false regimes, and false regimes will stop at nothing to silence the truth. It is that context that we pick up our gospel reading today. And it makes perfect sense then that the disciples, as the disciples start rolling back into town, he would say to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." Not only have they been running nonstop, bouncing from one major happening to the next, the world around them seems to be constantly pushing back at their work, calling Jesus Satan, asking his family to intervene because he's sharing such crazy ideas. And now the news that John the Baptist was killed just because he spoke out about the immorality of a government leader's marriage. They all, not only his friends, but Jesus himself, needed some time away. They needed some self-care. Shakespeare said that there is nothing new under the sun, and that dynamic I just described in Jesus and the disciples' lives proves it. It sounds familiar to our modern lives, doesn't it? So often I'll hear about people who just seem to have one hardship after another befall them. Sometimes it's numerous family deaths which seem to happen all at once. This happened in my mother's family when I was a child. In the course of 18 months, 7 of her aunts and uncles died. It was brutal. Or sometimes we encounter folks who seem to have major illnesses just pile up one after the other. Other times it seems to be financial hardship that keeps following someone around. No matter their good intentions, no matter how hard they try, they just can't seem to catch a break. Not to mention the exhaustion that comes from the world around us. I cannot even begin to fathom the soul-crushing exhaustion of the people of Puerto Rico last year after being buffeted by 2 back-to-back massive hurricanes, not to mention the unconscionable bureaucratic red tape that ensued as they tried to access government assistance that was rightly theirs afterward. You'll notice that I haven't even touched yet on the exhaustion that stems from being socially conscious in this era. The gaslighting, the overt and covert lies, the contorting of the American dream from an egalitarian aspiration to a racist, classist, sexist tool of exclusion, the stripping of democracy from our one person, one vote ideal to an oligarchic system of dominance. Even if grief and health and finance and relationships and natural disaster and the news and politics are all going well, the sheer volume of work and life commitments can take its toll. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Did I miss any of you? It might be a better question. What Jesus is reacting to when he takes the disciples out in the boat to get away is called compassion fatigue. It's a phenomenon that was originally diagnosed among the helping professions, healthcare workers, therapists, social workers, missionaries, when they would become so saturated by the need around them that they were no longer healthy and effective themselves. In recent years, we've come to see compassion fatigue spread beyond the helping professions as more and more people take on the burdens of the world. With the news not just on our TVs in our living rooms anymore, but in our laps and even in our hands, compassion fatigue is becoming more and more common. Dr. Emmett Snoot points out in his book, The Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living, we are inundated with graphic images of the unimaginable suffering of millions. We can fathom the suffering of a few, but the sheer volume that we encounter numbs us. Compassion fatigue is a mental and physical exhaustion and a profound decrease in the ability to empathize. It's a secondary traumatic stress as it comes from helping or wanting to help those in need. Often, it's called the cost of caring. What Jesus does in our gospel today is model good self-care amidst the traumas that are buffeting him and his disciples. One thing after another keeps coming at them to the point that he literally now has no personal space, as the word has gotten out that if you even touch his clothes, you're healed. No personal space at all. In today's gospel, there's a crowd that has gathered to be taught and healed by Jesus and his friends, but he takes his friends out in a boat to get away from it for a little while. Sherry Borg Carter in Psychology Today recommends small but meaningful actions to prevent compassion fatigue. First, she recommends to limit the amount of daily news you watch or read. I know that in this time and place that can be difficult. It may even feel irresponsible, but this is a long-term health strategy. Not laziness or weakness or shirking your civic duty. Your pastor told you, limit your news intake. Second, she suggests, be grateful about what is good in your life and the world. Seek to emphasize and even magnify the good. Third, try to find some meaning in the suffering you see. She also recommends if you must blame something, blame the situation, not the person. And then she says, show compassion to yourself by being kind, soothing, and nurturing to yourself. The strategies that we can lift up here are nothing new. They may be as simple as taking deep breaths, praying, of course, taking a walk, talking with a friend, watching a funny movie, taking a long shower. Compassion for yourself may take the form of scheduling a weekly check-in with a friend just to process all that the world has thrown at you. And self-compassion may be as elaborate as seeking therapy, not because of an overt explosive trauma, not because of sparklers, but simply to help yourself develop the tools to stay healthy amidst the traumas of the world. Think of this kind of therapy as an inoculation. If you do this, the ease is less likely to affect you. Things like developing hobbies, nurturing and developing friendships, and actually taking vacations are all ways to show compassion toward oneself and therefore mitigate compassion fatigue. My title today is The Compassion Cycle. As we read in the gospel, Jesus and his friends were exhausted, and so he took them away in a boat to a quiet place. And the crowd followed them. But Jesus does not stick militantly to his agenda, his rest now, compassion later agenda. After the briefest of respites, he heals again. Part of being agents of healing in the world, part of being a Christian with a conscience, is coming to understand that the hurt and the brokenness of the world are realities over which we have very little control. We can make a difference in individuals' lives and in systems, and while it is not ours to complete the work, it is also not ours to abandon it. As we practice the gospel this week, our task is to develop a compassion cycle, being compassionate toward ourselves, so that we have the wherewithal to embody Christ's compassion in the world. For those of us who care, it can be tempting to focus only on others, only on being there for those in need. But Jesus' example throughout the Gospels is clear. Love of self and self-care are critical to a life of service and healing. Speaking of which, I'm heading out on vacation. I'll be gone July 27th through the 7th, and so I pray that in that time, you will practice. I did not say that. I'm not praying that you're not here. John will lead beautifully the both week Sundays that I'm gone. I pray that you will practice compassion and that you will work on developing the compassion cycle. Alleluia. And amen.